Hey there, are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? Join Adel Kozilski and Faggy Stern as they explore ways to reverse chronic illness and achieve vibrant health. Your health is your only wealth, and together we can be better. Hashtag Healthy You, Wealthy You.
Chodesh Tov, this is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show. I'm Adel Kozilski.
And I'm Faggy Stern. Good morning.
Good morning. Today, Wednesday feels like Monday. We're having a bit of a stress attack today, trying to get technical things done. And I think this is my fourth meeting of the day, and it is only 12 minutes past nine in the morning. And our guest today says that the talk is to me, and we're going to be talking about, and I've got to pronounce it correctly, dysautonomia. So we're going to have a very, very interesting discussion. I'm not exactly sure what dysautonomia means, but all I can tell you is that I'm sure I'm suffering from it, apparently. Our guest today is Dr. Travis Mitchell. He had his first passion, which was chiropractic, at the age of 16. And he completed his schooling through night school, enrolled at chiropractic for chiropractic at the University of Johannesburg. And he did a master's degree as well, and he got a distinction for his thesis in 2004. He has worked in a chiropractic department in a multidisciplinary traditional and complementary center in Dubai. And he's now in Johannesburg, South Africa. We've had him on the show before. His clinical interests is in family chiropractic care, and he loves to look at everybody, big and small. He cares for them all. We'd love you to join the conversation today about dysautonomia. Our SMS line is 34519, our WhatsApp 19. Good morning, Dr. Travis.
Good morning, ladies. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm so excited to have this conversation today.
Well, everybody was very excited and listening to you last time, so hopefully we will have engagement from our audience today. We're going to be discussing a very interesting topic. You gave a whole lot of medical words, okay? And I think that you're going to have to actually introduce your topic and explain, I think maybe by giving us a definition, what is dysautonomia?
Well, let's start off with a little bit of biology review for everybody. So there's what's called the autonomic nervous system, and that basically changes the internal state of the body to deal with the external environment. And there's two major branches of that. The one is called the sympathetic nervous system. We're going to just simplify that and call it the stress system. And we know of flight, fright, and freeze. And the other side of it's called parasympathetic, which is called rest and digest, and is actually your healing system. So we have a stress system and we have a healing system, and they're supposed to be working together in regards to your external environment. So simply, you're in the savannah and a lion jumps. No, you're not drinking a savannah, okay? You're in the savannah and a lion jumps out at you. You're going to go into your stress state to either run away or beat the lion up. If you freeze, you're going to be eaten, okay? And the good news is if you've been eaten, there's no dysautonomia at all. But once you have survived the lion, you are supposed to come back into balance, which means your healing state, your parasympathetic engages. And we're talking about this dance that's supposed to happen every single day, every moment of the day. And as long as your sympathetic and parasympathetic are dancing, your body is in a state of balance. When they are no longer dancing, they're in a state of unbalance, and we call that dys, which means lack of, and autonomia, which means automatic balance. So we don't have that balance. And unfortunately, I believe that it is a baseline for many chronic health issues. And so you go to a doctor with a chronic health issue, and they're addressing the chronic health issue, but they're not addressing dysautonomia. And I don't think we're going to be helping people unless we get down to that baseline.
We need to get down to the baseline, but I just want to ask you something quirky. Like, I've always wondered, why do they call the stress side of things the sympathetic side? Like, that should be the place of rest and digest. Why is the stress side called sympathetic and the digest and rest parasympathetic?
You know,
It's like
Adel, I've had the exact same thought, and I really don't have an answer. It comes down to the Latin derivative of sympathetic, but I don't have an answer for you. I've really searched, and I've come up with different theories, but I can't give you an answer for that one.
Okay, that was just on
I
the
think it's
side.
so interesting. Like, this kind of brings to mind children in a classroom environment. So much of the time they can't concentrate, they're moving around too much. What makes one child more stressed in their bodies and their minds with their whole environment, what's going on around them, compared to another?
So what we've got to do is we've got to try and understand what are the lions that we face on a day-to-day basis, because our sympathetic nervous system is really designed to react to those things that are threatening to the body. Now, as much as people overseas think that we dance with lions and elephants on the streets of Johannesburg, we don't do that. But we are facing threats on a regular basis, and those are threats that we perhaps know about, but also threats that we don't necessarily know about. And so we have to look at this really globally. What happens to us on a physical level? So sitting is a stress for the body. We have to look what happens on a mental and emotional level. Yeah. So if the kid was in traffic and the dad was, has a bit of road rage on the way to school, that's going to influence the kid. And we have to look at what happens on a chemical level. If the kids had, coffee for breakfast and tasty wheat with a whole bunch of sugar, that's also going to be stressing the body. In Joburg right now, we have really high levels of pollution. We definitely haven't had rain, which helps to give us parasympathetic. So we have that in play as well. And I mean, there's so many other things electromagnetically that are influencing us on a regular basis. And we're talking about what's happening now. We haven't even considered what is the underlying state of a person. So once a kid arrives at school, hopefully you're saying, well, this kid is going to be calm and relaxed to start studying for the day. But this kid must be bringing in this massive load. And that's why the other word is called allostatic load, that massive load of stress. And then the teacher briefly raises her voice to get a point across. And this kid now thinks that he's getting attacked. And I was one of those kids at school. If you raised your voice at me, I just wanted to get up and run away.
Sounds like most of us today. Okay, we're going to be talking about managing stress. That's just the bottom line. That's the unfancy word of dysautonomia. We'd love you to
Nice.
join the conversation. 34519 is our SMS line. 0611019 is our WhatsApp number.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kasilski and Feige Stern.
We are speaking to Dr. Travis Mitchell. We are talking about stress. And I think that, as you correctly say, we've got to come to the bottom of the foundation of our allostatic load. The question I always have, and I recognize that I live a stressful life. I'm not sitting somewhere in the mountains or on a farm yard, coming up with the thing and taking a walk during the day. Life is by definition stressful. For anybody particularly living in a city, people who are, bringing, raising a family, people involved in business, just trying to get down Louis Botha Avenue with all the lights that are not working, or trying to navigate the taxis or whatever it is. Life is stressful. So, I think the first thing that we need to discuss is that we actually need to have identifiers of what are the stresses, and then actually maybe just find ways of managing the stress. Because I think, like, saying that I need to live a stressless life is like pie in the sky comments.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, Adel, you're 100% correct. And I always, make this statement when a lady goes to a gynecologist or a guy goes for a proctology examination and the doctor says, relax just before he examines you, there is no way in crazy that you're going to relax. So if you live in this wonderful city center like Johannesburg, as you're saying, it is stressful. This is perhaps the hopeful side of today's conversation, is we do have a parasympathetic side to our autonomic nervous system, and it can be stimulated. And one thing that I tell my patients is it's not a time for time conversation. So if you spend 18 hours every day stressed, that means you have to spend 18 hours a day in your Zen state. That's not real. So if you spend time and regular frequent moments in a great parasympathetic, it can help you to counterbalance your sympathetic. And that's really what we have to do. The problem with most of us is we have a load already there. We are taking on new stresses on a daily moment-by-moment basis. We're never offloading the cup. You know, in the Bible, it talks about my cuppeth overflows, and that's such a nice statement in the Bible. But in terms of stress, we're not talking about our cup overflows, because once we get to that point, we're in trouble. So if you keep emptying the cup, you're able to manage. And that's really what we've got to look at, is how do we offer that parasympathetic stimulation on a regular basis?
So let's take one step back. Let's just, you identified some things from Faggy's question about children, and you mentioned the word allostatic load.
Yes. Okay.
So let's unpack this. So, you know, most people, I think, are also oblivious to the stressors in their lives. So yeah. let's talk about that. So let's identify the negative, okay, the bad guys. I don't know why, again, it's sympathetic, but I would just call it the pathetic side of us, okay? And once we've recognized that, then how we can feed the parasympathetic to regulate it, to help it, nice, or to give an equal and opposite force to it.
Correct. So, yeah, I mean, I look at the four major stresses, you know, the physical challenges, the mental and emotional challenges, the chemical challenges, electromagnetic. I'm sure there's more, but I think that's a good starting point for most people to look at. We're looking at major. So, you know, if you've had a car accident, major physical trauma, if you've had major mental and emotional trauma, those are important, and obviously major chemical trauma. But we also have to look at the minor things. And I think the other thing that's really important for people is to look at accumulation. So, for example, I always tell people my mom was involved in a car accident when she was pregnant with me, and it was strong enough to have broken ribs on my mom. So this was back in the day where ultrasound was not a commonplace. So they didn't know whether I was going to be a viable pregnancy after that. And so my mom naturally had that stress. So that stress that my mom had was going through the placenta would have affected me. Plus also the physical trauma to break ribs on a mom when she's heavily pregnant is going to influence the uterus. So I would have taken that physical trauma. I was chronic asthmatic before I was 3 years of age. So one has to question whether those things at a really a small point in my life, how much of a knock-on effect that had on me developing something like asthma.
It kind of like a saying that, like, you found it hard to breathe in life, right? Because correct, almost life was knocked out of you.
Correct. Correct.
I find the whole chemical situation actually quite fascinating, because I don't know how many of us actually realize what's going on in our bodies and in our systems. Like, how often do we have to go and check for mercury overload, or, you know, any of these? You could do a hair analysis, you could have a blood test, you could do a urine test, but how many of us are actually walking around with a chemical load and not really understanding that it's having such a huge effect on us, even emotionally?
Yeah, so before I jump into that, Faggy, I think it's a really good question. One thing that's important to realize is whether we're dealing on a physical, mental, emotional, chemical, or electromagnetic, it all influences the body the same. The body is not differentiating between something that is mentally and emotionally versus something that is chemical. And so when we're looking at accumulation, it's everything. Most people think stress is purely just, you know, you have a bad day at the office. But what you're saying, Faggy, is really important, that chemical toxicity. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, you know, Joburg is high pollution. Then obviously we're looking at the products that we put into our hair, you know, the makeup that we use, the moisturizers, the detergents on our clothes. And what
perfumes,
we have to look at.
It's nonstop.
That, yeah. Perfumes. What we have to look at, which is really important, is what is threatening to us? And this is where bio individually comes in place. You know, Fagi, you might be very sensitive to perfumes, where I'm not. And Adil, you might be very, very sensitive to dairy, and Fagi's not. So we really have to look at your bio individuality. And I think that's the hard part, is really trying to understand yourself, not what is commonly known, but what is for you important.
So I think that is a very real conversation, just in terms of a person finding out for themselves. So we've got, we all recognize physical stress. Okay. Like everybody can understand, you know, if life is tough, or like you're either doing very hard work or you've gone through a car accident. I think a lot of us are understanding, emotional stress. I think there's a large conversation around that, you know, where one is suffering from anxiety, from depression, maybe going through emotional turmoil, be a breakup of a relationship, or, you know, something along that way. Chemical, I think less of a conversation, but bringing it up and saying, yeah, you're bombarding your body all the time with stuff that you don't even pay attention to. Who pays attention to the detergents and to their, you know, the toothpaste that they're brushing with, or, you know, the chemicals they're cleaning their house with, or all of that. Maybe expound a little bit more on that area, and then go to the fourth area, which is the electromagnetic one, which is, I think, is a very big piece, which we can't run away from. It's all around us. We don't even see it. We don't even notice it.
Yeah, so certainly as you're talking, Adil, I don't want people to get into this point where they're going to try and put themselves into a bubble room and try and, you know, eliminate all of these things. And I think for me, if we can steer the conversation towards what can we do to counterbalance, because our bodies are neurologically able to adapt to certain surroundings, regardless of whether they are threatening to our body or not, we are able to adapt. And if we just focus on what is challenging and threatening our body, we can get stuck in sort of a learned helplessness of that. Whereas if we're really focusing on how do we counterbalance, you know, we can then say, I'm not going to necessarily be able to avoid all of these things, but if I can counterbalance, I can keep myself in that autonomic balance rather than going into dysautonomia.
Okay, let's talk about this electromagnetic story, because yeah, it's all over the place. It's our internet. It's, you know, it's the cell phone towers.
Yeah.
What else is it?
Yeah, so I think that's a major part is anything that gives off an electromagnetic charge. And obviously, as you mentioned, we are sitting in front of computers, you know, cell phones, televisions. You know, there are those cell phone towers. I recently purchased myself an EMF testing machine. I got to tell you, that's quite scary, and can definitely take you down the wrong rabbit hole of trying to protect yourself. But there are, you know, within our houses, different electrical plugs that you've got to look out for. It's really just understanding what is around you. I mean, so simple things that people can do in that regard is just make sure that when you're sleeping at night, you know, there's no Wi-Fi, you know, you don't have your phones near you, TVs, you know, devices, try and minimize that. You know, also looking at where your electrical plugs are, you know, in your bedroom around where you're sleeping, because those things will keep your body in a sympathetic state rather than allowing you when you're sleeping overnight to go into good parasympathetic. And if we can get into good parasympathetic while we're sleeping, that means we wake up the next morning, da-da, fresh, ready to take on the day. But most people are not doing that. So they start their day already in debt. And it's not even functional debt. It's, you know, that deep-seated debt that you can't get out of. So, you know, it's really looking at how to get that balance right.
What would you suggest then in terms of de-stressing? What are your top tips?
So I actually wrote a list of 31 items, and recently we did a challenge in the office of 30 days of stress-free, and then every day we sent little bits of information. But I'm going to say that I think journaling is really effective. And if people don't journal, I think that's is something that a person can take on. There's different ways of journaling. I think meditation is massively important. And meditation for a lot of people can be very complex. You know, they think of shaving your head and wearing an orange robe and becoming a Buddhist monk. You don't necessarily need to go down that road. You can find a moment of quiet. One thing that I liked, Bruce Lee used to stare at a candle and try to watch the candle flick and wait until he started to blink. And then when he blinked, that he would start again. And that's a very simple, form of meditation. Otherwise, watching how you breathe, because you can breathe in a sympathetic manner, which is, or you can breathe in a very parasympathetic manner, which is using a diaphragm. And I'd say that's the one thing that I teach every one of my patients is how to breathe correctly. There are other things like just stepping away from the busyness of the day. So if you're in your car, turn the car off and go and look at something that's beautiful. I mean, there's lots of parks in Joburg. So go and park there and just look at a tree or look at a plant and try and just focus on the beauty that's in front of you, because that automatically changes some of your neurochemistry.
What about music?
Oh, music. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to talk about heavy metal now. But if you come down to
some people, it's very calming.
I'm not certain about that. I'm not going to argue, but I'm not certain about that. But if you look at a lot of your classical music and on Apple Music, they have a lot of sort of chill playlists that are much more instrumental and so on and forth. So I think music is really effective. I think reading is effective. I'm not certain that that screen time reading, so anybody that's using their iPhone or a Kindle or something like that, I don't think that that is as effective in engaging a parasympathetic. But reading, old-fashioned reading of a book, can be very parasympathetic orientated.
It's interesting. I actually just saw an article a couple of days ago that the book industry, the physical book industry, actually has grown exponentially. And they were having a whole analysis like why that would be, because you would think that books in print would actually go out of print because, hey, I can access it on my phone, on my tablet, on my computer. I've got the audio books and all of that. And they said that people are subconsciously reaching out for that physical book, because it's kind of like a calming medicine, right? That you can actually just hold a book, you can look at the words, and you can read it. The smell, the feel, the touch is something that people are actually gravitating more towards, because eventually you go and say, I can't take it anymore. How long must I look at a big screen, a small screen, a middle screen, and have that type of thing.
So I think it also has a big effect on people's eyes. Like, you don't realize how people struggle with their eyes just looking at a screen, even if it's reading a book.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to go back to the music part and just to put it out there, if somebody's got some type of favorite music, whether it's like calming music or whatever like that, that's great. But there's also like a whole industry out there now with binaural beats and listening to vibrational music that actually changes what your alpha to your beta to your theta. Mm. Maybe you can just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think that's very, very interesting. And there's a lot of sort of new age gadgets that help us in that direction. And I think there's a lot of value in that. When we're looking at our brainwaves, there are four different types of brainwaves. We have beta brainwaves. The easiest way to know beta is busy brain. Beta, busy brain. So when you're busy on a day-to-day basis, you're using your beta waves. And that, unfortunately, if they're uncounterbalanced, will become your stressed brain waves. And then we have alpha brain waves, which is active alpha, active relaxation. So that's when you stop and you genuinely want to have moments in your day where you stop and you're doing nothing. And then we go into theta. There's no link to the T, I apologize. But theta is that deep meditation. And that's generally, if you think about when you've fallen asleep, you can still vaguely hear your external environment, but you've really started to go into sleep. That's where theta is at its best. And generally, when we're talking about REM sleep or your dreaming state, that's where theta plays. And then delta is deep sleep. So delta, deep sleep. And so we want to really get into delta. So binaural beats, as far as I know, I don't know too much about it. And I actually had a pair of glasses that that would then flash certain lights at you while you were listening to this music. It has a way of bringing away from busy brain into the alpha, the theta, and the delta waves. And if you do that, especially before you go to sleep, it helps people to go into sleep. And that's certainly something that's worth looking at. I mean, we all have these wonderful smart watches that can monitor things. And I think for everybody, that's a very tangible way of knowing how much load you're having on a day-to-day basis and how close you're moving into the dysautonomia and how to look at that. If your sleep cycles are not regulated, and I can talk a little bit about that, if your resting heart rate is not regulated, you know, those are two simple things that you can monitor on a day-to-day basis and do something different. I recently had a new patient that started with me, and he's on high blood pressure medication, and he doesn't take his blood pressure regularly. And I said, I think that's a waste. And so he started to take his blood pressure regularly, saw that his blood pressure was terrible, has made some simple lifestyle changes. And he sent me a message on Sunday, said, Dr. T, guess what? I'm in the green, and all of his blood pressure readings have come down. And just by making simple lifestyle changes.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
We're speaking to Dr. Travis Mitchell. We're talking all things stress. If you'd like to join the conversation, 34519 is our SMS line. 061-895-1019 is our WhatsApp number. Dr. Travis, you know what I find interesting, though? You know, they talk about these binaural beats. They talk about breathing. But most of the time, if we're trying to do it in a home setting, we're taking headphones and we're sticking them in our ears through Bluetooth. Like, are we working contrary to each other, you know, with what it is that we're trying to achieve?
Well, I'm going to say to you is in certain instances, I'm going to take a person able to activate their parasympathetic, because a lot of people today do not know even what parasympathetic feels like. And I've certainly had patients where when I've worked with them and discussed them and we've managed to get them into parasympathetic, they literally freak out. They don't know what that feels like. And so it's this brand new feeling that feels really bizarre because your mind slows down. Your body starts to relax and you're like, this is abnormal. I haven't felt like this. So, yeah, I mean, if we can buy even a snippet of parasympathetic, even if there's some electromagnetic stresses that are going with it, I'm going to take that parasympathetic purchase.
You know, now that you said there were 31 things on your list, I mean, there have to be so many that we don't even realize. There's cursing, there's sauna, there's cold plunge, there's...
Well, I can read my list. Do you want me to go?
Yes, let's go through a few more.
Okay, so dark room resting. Dark room, that means no sunlight, yeah? Nice smells, yeah? Soft instrument music we spoke about. Eyes closed. Simply closing your eyes activates parasympathetic. Gentle prayer. Gentle humming or singing. Getting a loving hug. Yeah? That's just such a beautiful, simple one. Stretching gently through the body. I say gently because a lot of people go to, you know, Bikram yoga. I'm not being nasty to Bikram, but it's like massively intensive. That's not what I'm talking about. Stretching gently, yeah? Doing some hobbies, you know, old school hobbies like knitting and crocheting, you know, the old tunnies that used to sit there and just, you know, I think that's very relaxing, yeah? Eating satisfying foods. I think this one for a lot of people is really difficult. You know, sitting down, if we look at the Mediterranean way of eating, it's sitting down in a large family, breaking bread together, really enjoying that food. You know, I think a lot of people, I'm going to say maybe ladies more than guys, you know, every meal that they're eating, they're questioning how many calories they're having and is this going to go to their hips and their bums and their tums? You know, that's just adding more stress to the fire, yeah? Taking a gentle stroll in nature, what we call progressive relaxation, wonderful piece of psychology, progressive relaxation technique. Getting a therapeutic massage. You don't necessarily need to go and buy a therapeutic massage. If you've got a loved one who's able to just put hands on, we call it the healing touch or safe touch. Chamomile tea is really good. cloud gazing. I don't know if you remember lying on the floor on the grass and looking at the clouds and then activating your creative brain and saying, oh, I see a dragon there, or I see a butterfly. You know, something like that is really easy. You mentioned sauna. What about gardening? I mean, I get frustrated with gardening, so not for me, but for a lot of people, gardening is very...
I've got to tell you something about gardening. I'm not the most avid gardener. I like having a nice garden. And last week I went with some of my grandchildren, bought some flowers, and we actually spent the afternoon gardening, right? Just digging up the soil, mushing it around, putting in the flowers, doing whatever have you. I actually said to my son later, I was gobsmacked at how the kids actually acted with, like, you know, in that whole afternoon. Generally, they're bouncing all over the place. They're bored. They want this. Where's the this? You know, running around doing X, Y, Z and ABC. And they were all, the three of them engrossed, like 4 hours went away. It was physically, I couldn't move the next day. Okay. I didn't realize I had certain muscles in my shoulder that I don't think I used for the last 20 years.
Or how many muscles you actually have to use to plant something.
Exactly. But it was an incredible experience, and just showing that no, you don't have to have your kids, you know, involved in screen time and in movies and whatever it is that we train them, that just a day out in nature where it was hands-on, literally hands-on, was so therapeutic. It was unbelievable.
Well, I want to add to that, Adel, that getting your hands and your feet into mud and soil also has a beautiful grounding effect.
Yes.
And hopefully you were barefoot while you were gardening, because I think that is just fantastic for people.
And it's also very good for your microbiome, which obviously also has an effect on your brain.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to quickly dive into microbiome, I mean, the start of parasympathetic is in your digestive system. So, you know, babies that are born via C-section that aren't getting a good initiation of the microbiome, they really are at a disadvantage in their parasympathetic ability. But yeah, I mean, if we're gardening and by mistake some of that soil manages to get in your mouth, that's fantastic. You're maximizing your microbiome.
Okay, now you're pushing me into the sympathetic. This is the flight mode. Okay,
if your grandchildren putting it into their mouth, don't freak
out. No,
it's
no,
very healthy.
No, my grandson pulled out a worm, and I went and I went.
I had a bunch of kids actually come from my children's school to my salon to plant some vegetables, and they had like a whole thing of education of how plants work and how vegetables work and all the benefits of it. They had the most incredible time. They literally left on a high, eating the carrots with the soil on it. And they went back to school. The teachers messaged and said that was the most amazing activity.
Tell them you fixed the microbiome also. All right. So in terms of microbiome, obviously that is one of the big stresses is the way we eat, right? You know, obvious stuff like don't eat additives, preservatives, colorants, sugar, processed foods, all of that already adds to your allostatic load before you even open your eyes in the morning and you say good morning to the sun. You will, you know, if you...
And then you can say good morning and then you have all your sugary cereals.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah. There was one other one that I wanted to mention, which is really easy for people. Anybody on the radio can do it now, is when you've put lipstick on and you rub your lips together, that activates a certain part of your brain that is parasympathetic. So everybody tried. You'll see it relaxes you somewhat.
I know she'd been using the labella over here quietly.
Yeah, when we're talking about what we're eating, one really important part of understanding allostatic load and dysautonomia is our metabolism. And for most people, metabolism is purely weight management, but metabolism is energy management and healing management, which has such an intimate relationship to your autonomic nervous system. We have to be very specific with how we eat. I'm not going to say the word cautious, but we have to be very specific because most of the things that people can conveniently purchase is going to be sympathetic stimulating. And really not that much in terms of parasympathetic orientation.
Okay, we've got a couple more minutes. You've got 31. We've, I think, touched about 10. Let's hear some more.
Okay. So I think something that you guys should look into is getting somebody who does trauma release, because tremoring or shaking the body is critical. If we look at an animal, once they have been attacked by a lion and they've survived, they will always shake their body before they start eating. Having a good laugh.
And just on that note, our listeners can go back into Sorry, just on the trauma release therapy, we've had therapists on our show. Go back into our podcasts. I personally practice that. Like every 3 weeks, I will go to somebody and just do trauma release therapy. And it is, I vouch for it, an absolutely amazing way to let things go. Laughter also. Yes. What else?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Arla, what you're saying is you do live a stressed life, but you've already mentioned on today's talk that you do three or four things on a fairly regular basis that is helping you to counterbalance. And I think that's very relevant.
Okay, we're just going to go for a quick break. This is the Healthy You, Wealthy Show, 101.9 High FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You Show with Adel Kazilski and Faggy Stern.
Sure, when we're having fun, time really, really passes by very quickly. We've got 3 more minutes, Dr. Travers. Let's give another 2-3 things that we can give our listeners in terms of stress management.
I'm going to say that one of the ones that I see is the most important is how do we talk to ourselves? Because if you are your best friend, you're going to talk to yourself in a loving manner. You're going to champion yourself. You're going to cheer yourself on. If we listen to the words we say, we listen to the thoughts that we have, a lot of time there is that criticism, you know, that complaint, that aggression towards ourselves. And I think that is vitally important to change. And that then moves to another level, which one has to, without going into a religious conversation, you know, one has to look at their own spiritual story. You know, if we think that this is the be all and end all of life and we don't have a spiritual journey, you know, we can get caught up in the nitty gritties you know, we need to be able to try and what would you say that supersede that? And then my simple favorite is when last did you take note of a sunrise or a sunset? And there's only 2 types of people in the world, those that like sunrises and those that like sunsets.
Well, we're going to leave it on that. A very, very powerful message to leave our listeners with. From a Jewish perspective, we've just come into the final month of the Jewish year, the month of Elul. The month of Elul is a time of introspection as we move towards our new year, where we believe that God now opens up, you know, the books of life for the next year. And we are to take stock. And sometimes taking stock doesn't mean that it's got to be like something absolutely hectic. It could mean just simply choosing something to do different physically that will help you with with your body, with your mind. It could mean that you choose to take any one of the suggestions given today and more and incorporate it so that, you know, once you start changing that trajectory, like a plane, it might move 1 degree to the left, but as it moves along its path, it actually like leaves something else far, far away. Thank you, Dr. Travers. It's always engaging and wonderful to chat to you. I guess we could chat all day long, and we certainly will bring you back again. And I'm not going to deal with my sympathetic side of me, because it is pathetic. I will definitely, you've motivated me, as I do things regularly, but to like do it daily. You know, I do it regularly, but not daily. And I think that's what I'm going to take upon. What about you?
100%. I think it's very hard to de-stress. And I think we need to really make an effort.
Right. Okay. So here's the time is now. Thank you so much for your time and your expertise. This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You Show. This is 101.9 High FM.